Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial in toll-free, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
Join us on our website. Freetalklive.com is the place to go. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. You know, I want to burn through some emails here tonight. The phones are dead, so we'll go to your emails that are in the box. And boy, do I have a lot of them. This one's from Mike. He says, guys, I love the show, and I'm sad that I can't move to New Hampshire. Life is full of compromises.
Yes.
The reason for the email is this. I'm looking to become more active in my area, which is Maine, and I'm looking for some advice about finding alternative solutions to the projects that government usually handles. I feel that if we or I am going to complain about government, I or we should hopefully be able to say how we can do better. Since I know anything is better than force, so even if we fail, we still did better. For instance, government handles road construction and snow plowing. What are some steps to take in trying to transfer this to a voluntary cooperative effort instead of a coercive one? Any advice on creating incentives for getting the public to go along with this effort? While I see all taxation as theft, some might not. How do you approach government about this? How to fund anyone else able to achieve this? So road construction, snow plowing, what are some things that could be taken, some steps could be taken to move that into a more voluntary order? Of course, I'm asking a couple of minarchists here.
Yeah, I have no. I think that this is foolishness. Absolutely.
I sort of agree with Mark. I'll go with this example. There's a town not far from here where we're broadcasting from in Keene called Stoddard, New Hampshire, which is a very small town. It's rural. This probably wouldn't work as well in the city, but I'll throw this out here. They do have quite a few miles of private road, generally because people move to Stoddard for low taxes. There's a lot, you know, they're willing to take care of the road. So the way I could see this is if you had, say, a street that was you and a few other people on it, the town could give people a portion of their property taxes or whatever their municipal taxes are back if the people on that street would agree to turn it into a private road and handle the road maintenance themselves.
Now, great idea.
Usually it just means snow plowing, but you could privatize the whole maintenance shebang. I mean, if there's a pothole, you fill it, you maintain it to your standards with an association, and that's that.
I'm for that, but the problem with it is that you have to get, depending on the size of the town that you're in, for instance, you're talking about a very small town here, Stoddard, and I live in a town that's probably about the same size, and the vast majority of roads, and this is true for any place in the United States, except perhaps some really major metros, that most roads are really glorified communal driveways. There's quite a few houses on the road, whether it's, you know, they're little lots or whether you're talking about big plots like there are out in the town you're referring to there. And it's the only people that really go down them are people that are going to go home. And that's what that's what a driveway is. I don't see any reason why I should have to pay for the maintenance and the clearing and all that other stuff of someone else's driveway. For instance, in the town that I live in, there are lots of these, you know, glorified communal driveways that I have to pay to keep up.
They dead end somewhere or they loop back out onto the road. So it's not like it's a throughway that someone's using to get somewhere.
Right.
Unless it's to someone's house on that street.
Right. So it's basically a driveway. That's the intent of it. However, I live on the main drag, and I have a good long driveway. Nobody pays to clear my driveway. Mm-hmm. Nobody keeps up my driveway, and I'm on the main drag. So
so you're subsidizing the other people.
I'm subsidizing the other people. They're stealing from me in order to get their roads cleared or their driveways cleared, and that is just flat out wrong. So if you get, say, all the people on, you know, a given street to say, yeah, we'd like to turn our road private so that we can all take care of it and it'll be fine. Well, they're still going to take care of their road, which is an added expense as far as they're concerned, plus the headache of having to deal with a private road, because it isn't generally that easy, and they're continuing to subsidize all the other creeps that aren't doing it.
Yeah, which is why all I can come up with is some kind of a tax incentive from the town. Maybe some people would, I don't know, prefer not to have the police presence on their street, but most people would prefer a police presence on their street, I would think. So
Police aren't the issue here. This is the paving and the maintenance of the road.
That's the issue. I'm just trying to think of how you could sell it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's my answer to the question. Well, if the purpose of voluntarism is to advance the ideals of a voluntary society and hopefully bring it about eventually, then we do need to have some good answers to these questions. And I think that if the government, people, were to just start acting on a voluntary basis, you'd have the voluntary society. It's not a huge jump. It's just that the government people aren't going to want to make that jump, right?
No.
I mean, if you could just basically say, okay, government, if a bunch of voluntarists decided to, for whatever reason, run for office and they won on this voluntarist platform, and they could somehow do this legally, which they wouldn't probably be able to do because the state of New Hampshire would probably say, well, you can't do that legally or whatever. But let's just presume all the legal
and that you're not going to get sued for trying to clear
shut down the unions or whatever.
Well, clear a road. I mean, if you just took your snowplow out and cleared a road, you might get away with it. But plowing a road is not necessarily as easy as plowing a driveway. You may get stuck. Then you're there waiting for the cops to come get you. What the hell are you doing, boy? And then you've got to have that conversation.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're going with that, Mark. It wasn't in the direction I was going. So just hold on to your comments there for one moment. So the idea would be to transition to a voluntary society, meaning the government would start operating on a voluntary basis. So you could immediately change that by just letting folks know with the property tax bills that payment's voluntary now. Send us however much you want. Now, is that going to mean that a lot of people aren't going to send in the full amount? Probably. Will some people send more? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, maybe they will send more if they aren't being forced to pay. Who knows? But that would be one start. Of course, hopefully at the same time you'd be cutting the unnecessary crap like the government schools and essentially volunteerizing or marketizing those programs. So my idea is to just turn over the bureaucracy to the bureaucrats. I mean, they already have all the capital that they'll need to run these businesses, what should be businesses. I mean, clearing snow should be a service provided by businesses in the same way that garbage is here in New Hampshire, in many places, garbage is completely private.
My problem with the scenario you're proposing here is that essentially the city would volunteerize its maintenance of the roads, but people could pay however much they want. Essentially what you have there, it's not exactly forcible government. But the city still has a monopoly on the roads, and they're probably going to get much less funding than they need to actually do it. So you essentially have a half-assed monopoly that's somewhat voluntary.
That's why I think you need to cede the property back to the rightful owners as well. I think that the road out in front of – that abuts your home, that out halfway to the halfway point in the road, you should have property rights over. And, in fact, Mark, you've told me – maybe it's you, Nick. Somebody told me that here in New Hampshire, that actually is the case with the deeds, that your property does extend out into the road. So you would just be giving people control over that property, and then by making the government have to operate on a voluntary basis, they'll likely have to cut costs, because right now they can just spend whatever the hell they want to. They'll actually have to analyze their costs really well for the first time ever. I know they claim they do the best they can, but if they're actually not guaranteed payment, then they'll do a better job. And that would also open up the marketplace to where somebody, some entrepreneur, could enter into the snow clearing market and go to the people on a street and say, hey, look, you're paying this amount. I mean, they're asking for this amount in the taxes here. I can do this road for less than that. How about we get into a contract? Now, he'd have to get agreement from everybody on the street, but if he could come in and do it at a lower price, then it would seem pretty likely that most people would agree to it. So that would open up the market to competition, and it would at the same time allow the government workers to continue doing what they're doing. As long as they're doing a good job, they'll probably get paid an appropriate amount. I know it seems like a stretch, right?
I think there's going to be a problem in that.
Stretch.
I think there's going to be a problem in that if you have a house with a street with, say, 10 houses on it, you might find that 8 or 9 of the people are willing not to pay for any of the snow removal or the maintenance if they just let it go long enough, and their neighbors will pick up the tab, which is what I think you would see happening a lot.
You know,
if everybody owns their little stretch of road, well, if your stretch of road is before I get to my house when I pull onto that street and you're not paying to have it plowed, then I'm just going to plow my way through it, but that means I have to eat the cost.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you deal with it.
Well, of course, you can't deal with it. That's the problem with the whole agorist philosophy that exists. Like the idea.
Well, wait a minute. How can you say you can't deal with it, Mark? How do you know that you can't deal with something like that?
Because you're dealing with a coercive government.
Who are you to suggest that those problems can't be solved by the marketplace?
Not by one guy.
By one guy?
You're dealing with a coercive government, Ian. They're going to sue you.
I don't know what you're talking about. More coming up here. 800-259-9231. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? You should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapon permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes. And the Millionaire Patriot is paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapon permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FRONTSIGHT.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free handgun.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
This is privacy expert Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We're all creatures of habit, but there are some habits you need to break if you want to hang on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to startpage.com instead. Try 7 days on Start Page and break the Big Brother habit, just like I did. I switched to Start Page and never looked back. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try startpage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial in toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Features including the bulletin board system with over 490,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about From serious issues to fun stuff, you'll find it all free at bbs.freetalklive.com.
This morning I was taking my Chews for Health Superfruit Complex. It's a chewable vitamin. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm sure I'm glad I don't have to take those big old horse pills anymore. And that little shot of boysenberry juice or whatever it was that my wife used to take me, have me take for antioxidants. Now I get them both in one, and it's a tasty, convenient, chewable, and you can get a week to try it out at 800-219-8874. It's free except for shipping and handling. Just call 800-219-8874. See if it's if you enjoy it as much as I do. It's Chews for Health.
Okay, so Mike had emailed in saying he was wondering what some ideas he might be able to pass along when he's talked to about the idea of moving to a voluntary society and how to transition things like the government's monopoly over road maintenance to a voluntary society. How do we marketize that? How do we take it out of the hands of the violent monopoly of government and put it into the hands of the marketplace so it can be open to competition and innovation? And, Mark, you were trying to make a point. It was confusing to me toward the end of the last segment. Can you recap that for
me? You know, if I didn't segue properly for you, I'm sorry. I've been kind of having this conversation in my head for the last couple of weeks about agorism. Agorism is a political philosophy that was developed by a couple of guys named Konkin and Shulman, developed by Konkin and then refined by Shulman. And the idea is that agorists will develop a market alternatives to things, and then their market alternatives will be so good, including a private defense force, by the way. And at some point or another, they'll overthrow the government. And to me, agorism, I agree with the philosophies of agorism in that you should probably have some gold and silver stored up. You should probably know how to grow some food at your house and, do some things to sort of check out of the system. I think there's a lot of flaws in its particular philosophy. And this email smacks of agorism to me. The idea that this...
He's just asking for ideas, that's all.
Ideas to offer market alternatives to the government's monopoly on road maintenance and road construction.
What's wrong with that?
If you're going to try to take care of the government's road, they're going to sue you, okay? If you try to just clear snow from it or do whatever and they catch you, you're in big trouble.
Okay. I'm not defending the agorists here, but I don't think they really care.
They may not care, but they're going to have some problems.
Right. But you're talking
what
about
are they offering.
You're talking
they're
about
not
in
offering
the world.
Anything. I don't want you out clearing the road in front of my house. I've got the city for that. I already have to pay them for it. I mean, why would I be interested in compensating you for doing it too?
Yeah, I don't know, Mark.
Right.
Talking about in a world where the government still exists. You're talking about
that's what he's talking about. He says he's in Maine, right?
Right. He's talking about he's asking us for ideas as to how to transfer to a more voluntary order.
Okay. So in order to transfer there, you would be starting in the world where the coercive government exists today, right?
Right, and you're drawing the conclusion, you're jumping to the conclusion that that means that you have to go out and do what you're saying, and that is get out and start competing immediately with the government and hope that someone's going to pay you for it.
You cannot go out and compete with the government in road clearing.
Right, that's probably not going to work too well. I think that anybody that's wanting to do that should expect to not get paid for it. I think that if you're going to go out and fill in potholes and that sort of thing, which I think is a good idea. I think that getting out there, because what you can do is you can show that the volunteer force, road crew, is doing a better job than people care about the potholes.
They do, but they don't know anything about, when they're driving over a filled pothole, it's the absence of a problem. People don't care about the absence of a problem.
Right, so you show the footage of the people filling the hole.
Now you've got some video up for some other agorists to watch on the internet.
You can put a map up. You can promote it in your local television station or radio or a newspaper. What I'm saying here is you could promote the efforts of those, the volunteer road crew that's going out and actually improving the roads in the area for zero cost to the locals.
I think you'll be far better off in the case of having to stay in some other state. Try to run for city council or something like that, and then bring these philosophies up there. You'll have a much bigger stage.
I don't think he's saying anything about taking that option off the table here. He hasn't said anything.
No, he hasn't said that. I'm just saying that I've been having a conversation in
your
my head.
I know. You're
about
sounding
agorism.
A little nutty, in fact.
I'm telling you, I'm
a little obsessed.
Of the opinion that it simply is an idea that doesn't work.
Well, I can sort of see where you're coming from, Mark, although I do think that if he's looking for some kind of an alternative to give, he could talk about the idea of, well, we could privatize some of these roads. I think you actually brought up a good point that a lot of them are just glorified driveways. They're not really throughways or highways.
I want to see them privatized.
Right. So I think that you can make a reasonable case for that, a case that will sound reasonable to a lot of other people. It's a hard selling point because then the people who live on those roads actually have to pay for it, and that's a whole other thing entirely. But I think you can make some headway there. Did he bring up anything else besides roads here?
I think he does here. In fact,
I know Mark doesn't
roads.
Like talking about the roads.
Yeah. One of the other points I wanted to make that you brought me to here, Nick, on this the road issue though, just to wrap the conversation up, is if you were to transition over to voluntary funding and the government bureaucracy that's currently in charge of clearing the roads says, look, you know, we still want to clear these roads for you, but we can't force you to pay for it. So here's what we need. Here's our budget for the year. Here's what we need to make. Just kind of like how the United Way or whoever else, you know, they set a goal for fundraising as far as what they want to raise. The road crew could also set a goal for fundraising. They'd publicize that. You know, we need to get this amount in to clear the roads in this area. And if people don't pay, then they don't get their roads cleared. And eventually that might bother them enough to the point where they might want to start paying someone to do that.
Those are some great ideas in a voluntary world.
That's what we're talking about here, how to transition over to the voluntary world.
No, you're talking about a voluntary world.
Right. You'd have to have the government people accept the idea that they can no longer force people to pay for their services.
Yeah, they're all for that.
No, they're not all for that.
No,
this is not an easy task.
And also, the roads are a stupid thing to be talking about in the first place. In my town, the 80% of the budget goes for the school.
You can say it's
the
stupid.
The rest of the budget for everything else is 20%. So what's that make roads? The clearing and the maintenance of roads.
Which should mean it wouldn't be hard to voluntarily raise that money then if it's not that big.
School. Go after the schools, man. Go after the teachers' policies.
I'm all in favor of that, okay?
Riddling up the kids. And
you'll be happy to know he addresses schools next in his email, Mark.
Good.
So calm down. So, yes, we are talking about changing over to a voluntary society and what one possible way of doing that might be. And that was my idea, right? Just have the government bureaucrats just stop acting like a coercive monopoly and see what changes. See how the marketplace rearranges itself in order to deal with the issues that need to be dealt with. Because if you believe in the marketplace, and if you believe that the market solves the problems that are put in front of it to the best of its ability at the lowest possible price, with competition and innovation, then you can understand that it would find a way. The marketplace and the people in search of profit, the innovators out there would find a way to get these things done. It seems insurmountable. It seems difficult to us from our perspective. But it's likely that we would look back in another 30 years and say, wow, how come we didn't think of that before? More on the way. You take control. It's Free Talk Live.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter, sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338. When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com. Or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line, 800-259-9231. Tonight it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Features including the archives, going back for an entire year, all free for you on the front page of the website, freetalklive.com.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of Freedom's Phoenix get every day. Readers of Freedom's Phoenix are constantly provided the detailed, real news that lies between the lies of propaganda and the relationship that we have with coercive governments. Freedomsphoenix.com offers up-to-the-minute updates on the economy, technology, communications, and the rise of the police state. Go to freedomsphoenix.com and sign up for their free daily dispatch now.
All right, so we're in the midst of an email here from Mike. Of course, you can call in and bring up whatever you want at 800-259-9231. And, Mark, you've been kind of critical of Mike here, and maybe not so much on air, but during the breaks, because he started his email by saying that he can't move to New Hampshire and then proceeds to ask questions about how to have us suggest some steps and as to trying to transition from the current violent monopoly situation with road clearing and construction to a more voluntary society. And you were saying, screw it, just give up.
I absolutely believe that. Yeah, I mean, the idea that you're going to offer voluntary solutions to people that is, going to bring down the coercive government, turn coercive governments into a more voluntary thing in Maine, to me, seems nonsensical. To me, the only solution you have, whether you're going to follow a more outside of the system, a more inside of the system solution, is to concentrate people in a geographic area, because that's how governments are sectioned out currently. Well, and I'm of the opinion, I'm not done, I'm of the opinion that he would be better off to work hard, make good money, and support the people here in New Hampshire that are doing the kinds of things that he would like to see done, rather than waste his time trying to fill in potholes or, you know, clear government roads or even running for office, quite honestly, in wherever he's at. I think running for office might have the best solution, but, you know, it's likely going to – it depends on where you are, but, you know, going to take up a lot of time. And
so you're saying there's no value in even talking to people about these ideas?
I think that he should do what Stefan Molyneux suggests. Stefan Molyneux, at this point, basically the leader of the agorist movement and a great man, a nice guy, says just keep asking people over and over again, do you support the use of violence and coercion against me and my family? Do that. And then work hard, make money, support activists in New Hampshire.
Well, I don't think it's fair to just write people off like that.
What do you mean?
I'm not going to say that people who for whatever reason can't move to New Hampshire, by all means, donate money to activism going on here in New Hampshire. I think you're going to get a better return for your investment. But people kind of want to do things if you are committed to living in whatever community you're in. Or for whatever reason, whether you want to be or not, whatever community he's in Maine, he probably wants to try to do something where he is. That's just how people operate. And I'm not going to say that he shouldn't do anything.
Well,
I disagree with that.
Volunteer in some aspects that you know that people can get. You know, I say create better goodwill. You know, go to the jail and volunteer there. Do some stuff at the school. Be a crossing guard. You know, do some things like this where you come in contact with people and you are doing voluntary type stuff rather than things that confuse people like, you know, filling in potholes or trying to clear the road of snow and things like that. I mean, I think that just is going to confuse the issue.
Well, I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's any reason to take these ideas off the table, to not have these discussions. I agree with you, Mark, that it's probably not going to be the best use of your time. There are some things that would probably be more productive in other areas where you don't have the activists backing you. So I would agree with you to that extent, but I don't think that's a reason to just say, well, screw it, don't even talk about these ideas. I think
talk about them all you want. Please, yeah. Talk about them with people that you're working with. Get to work, make money.
There you go. All right. He says, any suggestions about actually transitioning to private schooling? This I find mind-numbing, as the state can achieve such a large economy of scale. I know about, economy of scale. That suggests that there's some sort of savings.
The state is spending $14,000 in some, I'm just going to come up with some general numbers, $14,000 a student versus the private schools, which are spending like five. It's just general numbers, but you can find them. The private schools are probably on average about 66% the cost of public schools. There is no economy of scale when it comes to schooling.
The government.
The government has so many rules that they have to go by and all this other stuff that there is no economy of scale.
He says, I know about homeschooling, but in the face of our current system, this won't always be a reality for many parents. Again, any other communities you know of having success with this? Not that I know of necessarily, because the teachers' union is, you know, pretty entrenched wherever they are, and they're not going to let go of their monopoly too easily. But again, I'll propose my same solution here, and this is much more doable with the schools.
It is absolutely.
It's much
this
more
is,
easy to understand.
It's pretty good.
It's easy to understand. You don't have those common area issues that you do with the roads, and the solution is to turn it over to the bureaucrats. Give it to them. It's okay. I understand that there's this mentality amongst the liberty-minded folk that, well, those bureaucrats have been screwing us, so we need to screw them. No. Just let them have it. You know, it's like when you're breaking up with somebody. The best way to break up with somebody is to let them have the crap that they want. It's just stuff. It's all right. Just let them have it. If it makes them feel better and it makes the breakup easier and there's not all that animosity and hatred as a result of that, let them have it. Same thing with the government school. Let them have
that
the buildings and the school buses and everything.
It's not going to work.
Why?
Because the people you need to convince on the schooling issue, number one is the teachers' union. They have no incentive to take over the schools.
They don't think they want ownership?
No. They get paid just as it is. They have good benefits. Number two, you need to convince parents who right now, yeah, they have to pay taxes, but you can have eight kids and send all your kids to school, and it's essentially free to you except for the taxes that you have to pay. You have to convince parents that they, number one, would be able to afford to pay for their, you know, their children's education, when they could have a system that essentially taxes other people without kids to pay for that, and number two, that they would want that system.
I think you have a bigger problem with Supreme Court rulings in your state. Many states, most states, have ruled that education is a right, and you cannot not offer that education as a right. I like the idea, and I think it's clear and concise. However, I thought he was talking about offering voluntary market-based alternatives to the current system in the area.
His question is transitioning.
Okay.
From what we have today to a private situation.
I think, number one, if you had essentially, because there are rulings that say that children have a right to a essentially government-funded education, if you provide the funding but not the bricks-and-mortar school, then I think you're, in many cases, you're going to be meeting that requirement. So I think one thing you can do is tell parents that, well, we're going to pay for your child to attend school, whether it's at Keene High School, that, you know, a municipal school, or if you choose not to go there, we will give you a voucher. I think that's one way you get there, where at least parents are still given the money out of tax coffers, but you're at least setting up a system where different schools have to compete for that tuition money, and some of them might be private, some of them might still be public, they're competing for it.
But then you've got the voucher problem, where the vouchers become a string that allows the government people to control the schools.
Not on a town-to-town basis, I don't think. I mean, if you're talking about a state situation, perhaps, but on a town-to-town basis, I think you get away with it. The problem is that more and more, they're now classifying more and more kids as, learning disabled, so that they go up from $14,000 a year to educate them to $49,000 a year to educate
them.
But that money's... And then you're trying to come up with these vouchers. I think you're better off saying, telling the family, hey, here's a check for $50,000. Leave town. Oh, I swear to God, I think that's the best, it'll cut costs all over the place. But I think if you're looking for creating some alternatives, that you could do the homeschooling thing and say a church or something like that, and just get a few friends together to send their kids to, one parent that essentially is homeschooling, a group of kids. I think some states will have different rules on that than others, but.
Just to expound on my idea, because I like it. If you did have a system where you did start to get competition, real competition in education, you would probably see the cost start to come down people wouldn't be quite so attached to the idea that they couldn't afford it on their own, and you might not see such a big push to hold on to the government schools. But they're really not very good schools in many cases.
The toll-free number here is 800-259-9231. Do you have any ideas for Mike on this issue of privatizing, or rather marketizing, the government schools? It's Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extracts, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Just dial in toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become a Free Talk Live amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We'll take that money in, reinvest it into the show, get on more radio stations around the country, bring more internet listeners on board with the ideas of freedom. So head over to amp.freetalklive.com, get signed up for as little as $3 a month, and get perks like access to the amp-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. All the details are there at amp.freetalklive.com. Your amp dollars make a big difference for this show. It's I think the primary reason why we are where we're at, because without you, without your $3 a month, we just wouldn't be able to reach out to stations as effectively. So thanks to all of our amplifiers, and thanks to you if you're going to become one at amp.freetalklive.com. Mike had emailed in asking questions about transitioning from the coercive society in which we live with the government with a monopoly on violence to a voluntary society, a more market-based society where things like roads and schools are handled by people in search of profit that are doing business on a voluntary basis. And he asked the question about schools, and he got three answers. Nick, you had said that you think that there should be some sort of voucher-y system where...
Yeah, basically, where schools can – basically, it's still government-funded, but people can choose where they send their kids to school.
So, therefore, people that don't have kids are still paying to send other people's kids to school?
Yeah, initially, that's where it would be.
Where would you take it after that, if that's initial?
I just think that over time you would see the cost of providing an education go down significantly, and you probably wouldn't see as much of a demand for government to fund it. You wouldn't see as many parents saying, we can't afford to pay for this if it wasn't for government. And you probably get a higher quality education in the meantime. So I'm not saying it's perfect. I don't know how exactly you would work it into this scenario where there are no government schools or no government involvement. I just think it moves you a lot closer to being able to work a smooth transition.
Well, there certainly is no easy answer to this. As you pointed out, Nick, the teachers union is pretty dug in. They're not going to be very happy with the idea of, you know, essentially wresting power away from them. And I didn't say it was going to be easy to implement my suggested solution, which was essentially to completely hand over the government schools to the existing staff members, presuming there aren't any legal hurdles that will be put in the way, and inevitably there will be by the teachers' union and the people that have an interest in the system, but presuming that you actually had enough of political, let's just say you had enough political sway, you know, in this sort of fantasy political world, right, where liberty-minded people are getting elected left and right, people are starting to get this whole freedom idea, they're starting to like this idea. Obviously, the teachers' union doesn't like the freedom idea very much, but they're getting outvoted, right? They're, you know, the school board members are starting to be replaced, the politicians are starting to be replaced. So this is a total inside-the-system thing, because it's the way it would have to, this solution would have to come about. Obviously, non-cooperation and people just not paying taxes is a, you know, quick, easy, quick solution to saving you money, but it won't end the problem immediately. So if you could actually have an inside the system success, then this might be doable, where basically you just say, look, I know you guys don't want this, but hey, this is what the voters want. So here, you now have all of the buildings, all of the school buses, all the, you know, the janitor carts, whatever the hell capital that they have for the school system, you just simply give it to them and they get equal shares. You know, whether it's the principal or the janitor, they all get equal shares of the business of Keene High School, or whatever high school is in your area that would be, or schools would be transitioning over. And then let them figure out how to deal with that. Let them figure out how to deal with charging tuition and how much people should get paid and all of that. Maybe some of the members of the school would decide they don't want to deal with this crap. They'd rather go get a job in New York State and they want to sell their shares and leave. They could do that. Somebody else could buy those shares. Some entrepreneur could come in and make them a hell of an offer and say, look, I'll buy out all your shares for this. I just get all the, you know, the assets and everything, and I'll take over the school. Who knows what would happen once you put it into their hands? Maybe all of a sudden they become entrepreneurial. Maybe they would get it together and offer a service.
The evidence is when bureaucrats are switched out, when they're, you know, their enterprise is switched over to the marketplace, that in fact they do get entrepreneurial. And
where's the evidence? Just curious.
John Stossel did something on a water treatment plant that went from public to private, and you know, in fact they did pretty well.
They made it work.
Yeah,
that's good. So that's my idea in a nutshell. It's not an easy thing to implement, but it would effectively, you know, completely marketize the existing government school system, and it wouldn't, you know, raze the school to the ground or anything like that. You'd still have all the assets there, and they'd just have to make it work in the marketplace, which, if they're offering a valuable product and service, they should be able to do. So just a real quick more with Mike's email. He says, and what do you suggest when the state dictates the standards and decisions towns and communities must abide by when it comes to addressing these issues, or when the feds dictate to the states what it expects and then hands that down to the towns? Well, I think that the best case in that, especially, let me, we can just talk about the feds. There's very little chance you're ever going to have any political success with them, right? I think we've all pretty much come to that conclusion on this show, that trying to change the federal government with politics is a very difficult proposition. So I think non-cooperation would be the answer there. I mean, just if you could have enough political success to where on a local basis you could just tell the feds to go shove it, then that would solve that problem. You know, we don't want your requirements, we don't want your money, because the feds provide like 6% of funding, but 90% of all the requirements that schools have to follow. So that would be a great way to get rid of a lot of the controls and the regulations, and at the same time, you know, set the school system a little more free.
I've heard educators complain about federal programs like No Child Left Behind, because they realize it just gives them a bunch of mandates that they have to follow that probably don't even work very well for their district.
So you could maybe get them on board for that.
You might be able to get them on board for that. I think you'd have better luck if you could get government at the state level, whatever state you're in, to say, you know what, schools in our state can follow their own standards that meet our state requirements.
And we'll cover the 6%.
Yeah, or we won't. I mean, as Ian's pointing out, the federal government does mandate a lot more education funding than it covers. It has a lot of unfunded mandates in that area. So even if you lose that 6% of federal funding, you can cut a bunch of these useless required federal programs that you have to offer in school,
mm-hmm.
and you can make up the savings there without any kind of new money.
Great points. Let's go to your phone calls. Ziggy is on the line in the UK, across the pond. Hello, Ziggy. Ziggy in the UK, going once. Did we lose Ziggy? I think we did. Ziggy is gone. So how about you? What do you think about, you the listener, what do you think about these ideas? How would you suggest transitioning over to a more voluntary order of education? Would love your thoughts at 800-259-9231. None of these roads is easy. None of them. Whether it's civil disobedience and withholding your funds and putting your own safety and your own freedom on the line, that's certainly a difficult road. Trying to defeat the teachers union inside the political arena, an arena at which they have a lot more experience than you do, that's not an easy task at all. I mean, none of this is very easy. In the meantime, I think that one thing that can be done is reaching out to the students. I think that's something that's a possibility. And getting involved, Mark, you were talking about earlier about what people can do maybe if they aren't in New Hampshire is go out, volunteer, talk to people about the ideas of liberty. And I think that talking to young people about the ideas of freedom is a really valuable thing to do. There are certain ways that you can go about doing that. Get in touch with your local government schools and, you know, find out what sort of opportunities there are for speakers, for instance. I used to know a teacher at one of the schools down in Sarasota, Florida, from this place I was born and raised. And I knew one of the teachers through some connections. And I was invited, and this was back when I was working with the Libertarian Party down there, I was invited to come in and talk about libertarianism to these kids. And it was a great experience for me because it got me up in front of a group of people and talking, and for me that's not an easy thing to do. And for a lot of people that's not an easy thing to do. But I had a lot of fun reaching out to those kids, and I brought in the world's smallest political quiz, and I handed that out, and, you know, all the kids got to take the world's smallest political
Everybody
quiz.
Likes to have something that's customized to them. You know, whether you find I'm just taking a look here at Facebook during the break, and there it's rife with these little quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out, you know, what kind of – which Marvel or DC superhero are you, or, you know, what color is your favorite color? They'll tell you what your favorite color is. And, you know, here's one that says
– In case you hadn't decided.
Yeah, for ladies only, which kind of dominatrix are you? I mean, they just have a – you know, just a variety of these quizzes. And the world's smallest political quiz is nice for that because it will tell you where you fit, at least in that snapshot and moment of time, on this, you know, on the spectrum.
And I'll point out, if you're in high school yourself, you're a pro-liberty person in high school or college, try to reach out and do the same thing. Because I had teachers essentially invite me to talk about libertarianism when I was active in clubs and in classes in high school.
Yeah, start a club up, find a teacher to sponsor it, get out there and, you know, get information into people's hands. So hopefully down the line we can have a generational shift toward a more pro-liberty thinking. I know, it's thinking big, but we might as well. Hour 3's coming up. You bring up anything, it's Free Talk Live.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.